advice. You know, that stuff, those suggestions, those directions people give you about what you should do with your life. The reality is, everybody wants to give advice, whether we ask for it or not. People are wanting to tell us how to live our lives in the best possible way. There's an old proverb that says, advice from your friends is like the weather. Some of it is good, and some of it is bad. The reality, good and bad advice. Let me give you some bad advice that people have talked about. Okay? Let me introduce you to some bad advice. W. Somerset Maugham, the author, wrote once, death is a very dull, dreary affair, and my advice to you is to have nothing whatsoever to do with it. Would it be that easy? But how good is advice? Have nothing to do with death. Well, folks, sooner or later we will, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. Now, I can't give credit for this. I found this little tidbit of advice on the infinitely wise and amazing internet. If someone tells you, I love you, and you don't feel the same, just tell them, I love YouTube, very quickly. I love you too. Bad advice. Irma Bombeck, and some of you ladies may have been Irma Bombeck fans. My mother introduced me to Bombeck, and I loved her writings. Once made the statement, and this is just wise advice, whether we like it or not, we have to settle for it. She said, when your mother asks, do you want a piece of advice? It is a mere formality. It doesn't matter if you answer yes or no. You are going to get it anyway. And then Lawrence Peter made a very wise statement. If you can tell the difference between good advice and bad advice, you don't need advice. Advice. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, and we're going to come to a passage of Scripture that has to deal with advice. We're finally coming to the end of the arc of a story that began in chapter 3 of Acts. When Peter and John were on their way to prayer, saw a lame man and healed him, and then told the crowd, the name of Jesus did this. The Sadducees, afraid, angry, jealous, had them arrested, threatened them, you need to quit preaching Jesus. And the disciples, bless their hearts, kept saying things like, we're going to obey God. And so there are multiple arrests in this story. And we've come to the last of the arrests that all go back to that one event because they kept preaching Jesus. And I'm going to pick up with the last verse that I shared with you last week. And we're going to read how the story finally, the arc finally draws to a close. And I want you to hear carefully. The apostles are once again told, we have told you, and you can hear the words, we have told you over and over again, quit preaching Jesus. And Peter and the apostles respond. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things. So is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So listen to what they're saying here again. We are witnesses. All we're doing is telling you what God has done, and even the Spirit of God is bearing witness, whom God has given to those who obey him. How did the Sanhedrin respond? When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered them that men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin. Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody. And about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. And all the followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in this present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose is activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. So in our text, Gamaliel, a very important man in the first century Judah, told the Sanhedrin this advice: do not kill these men. Leave them alone. Let them go. And through the years, I've heard a lot of people deal with Gamaliel. Whether or not it was sound advice, we will deal with that. But we need to understand something today, and we need to not only understand, we need to accept and surrender to this truth, folks. We need to be careful when adopting the wisdom of the world. We need to be careful when we're listening and taking advice from the world. Now, what difference does it come, where the wisdom comes from? If it's wisdom, it's wisdom, isn't it? What's the big thing? If it's wise, it's wise. Well, we're going to look at the origins of wisdom and then hopefully can decide which we should listen to. And this is a very important truth, and we need to grab hold of it, folks. The advice that we receive walking through life, folks, sometimes it's just bad for us. Sometimes it's good, and we're going to take a look at both kinds. So let's take a look at the origins. On the one hand, wisdom can originate in a world system out of sync with the truth of God. Please, let me repeat that. Grab hold of what it says. Wisdom can originate in a world system out of sync with the truth of God. When it comes to the world views around us, worldly wisdom is not walking to the beat of God's music. And sometimes what the world says, this is what wisdom is all about, is actually very far removed from what God would have us to know. And so we take a look at Gamaliel and his wisdom. And I will tell you again, a lot of folks have said this man just gave such great wisdom. Well, let's take a look at that. Gamaliel's advice sounded solid and well thought out. So on the surface, it really does sound good. And you need to know Gamaliel was a very well-loved teacher. He was a Pharisee. In fact, in Acts 22, we find out Gamaliel was Paul's teacher. So everything Paul understood about being a Pharisee, he learned from Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was the grandson of Hillel, one of the most important interpreters of the law during the Roman era. Gamaliel was a rabbi of good repute. Luke says he was honored by all men. But folks, he wasn't just respected. It's been said Gamaliel was one of those people who was really loved. Folks loved him. He had a nickname among some, the beauty of the law. Basically, they were saying, if you want to know what the law is like and how good it is, look at Gamaliel. So this is the man giving advice. And his advice, again, sounds extremely tolerant, sounds really well thought out. Basically, what has he said? We need to be careful. Very quickly, let me show you how important this guy is. In the text, it says he commanded that the men go to another room. Folks, Gamaliel was not the chief priest. He didn't have the right to say anything about how the trial was going to go. This is how respected he was. He says, we need to just talk among ourselves, and everybody agreed. And then he cares about these people, he respects them. Men of Israel, we need to be careful. Why is he speaking up? Because the council wanted to kill the apostles. They wanted them dead. And Gamaliel said, we need to take great care. And he gives two examples. One is Theudas. Now, we don't really know anything about this man. Josephus, the Jewish historian, writes about a guy named Theudas, but he came long before this situation would have. But Theudas apparently had a following of 400 men. Whether he was claiming to be the Messiah or he's just trying to get rid of Rome, we don't know. But he was killed. And when he was killed, all of the people that rallied around him went away. Then Judas, the Galilean, we know about him historically. He did lead in a type of revolt. He had a big crowd follow him. And when he was killed, the crowd went away. Now, what is Gamaliel's point? Jesus has got a crowd following him. He is dead. We took care of that. Now, if this movement is just of men, like you suspect, we believe, it'll go away. If it's of God and we try to fight it, we may find ourselves fighting God. So what does he suggest we do? The very brave action of doing nothing. Just leave them alone. Don't kill them. Leave them alone. If it's of God, it will grow. If it's not, it'll die. And folks, that's some pretty good Pharisaical reasoning. The Pharisees were very big on the concept of the sovereignty of God. God is in control. So if God is with this group, it's going to flourish, and we better not be fighting against him. If God is not, well, it'll fail on its own. Now, I will immediately say the crowd, the council agreed to this, and Gamaliel's advice at least helped secure the apostles' freedom and the fact that he kept them from being killed. But was it good advice? And did he believe it? Probably to some degree he did. Probably he really, at some level, he probably thought if this is of God, it will grow. If it's not, it will die. But here's where the vice becomes very tricky. If he really did believe we need to leave this alone because we might fight God, why did he remain quiet when the council ordered these men to be beaten? And that word flog, folks, is talking about being beaten with a very coarse whip that would literally rip flesh off of your body. Why did he allow them to be warned again, don't preach about Jesus anymore? Because his advice said what? leave them alone. Now, folks, if you're going to leave me alone, you're not going to beat me with a whip. I do not call that leaving you alone. It's kind of like me and my older sister Kathy when we were children. I will admit, now if Kathy should ever come to Mississippi, you can't tell her I admitted this. I will admit that at least some of the trouble that I have with Kathy, I kind of might have instigated. The car trips. Mom, he's touching me. He's breathing on me. I was not leaving her alone. And the Sanhedrin beats these men and basically is telling them, do this again and it's going to start over. The problem with Gamaliel's advice, when it comes down to the bare bones, it's been pointed out. What he is saying is, let's not make a decision here. Let's not make a commitment one way or the other. We're going to leave it alone. And as someone has pointed out, this moment in time is screaming for a decision. They have heard Jesus' name proclaimed. They have heard over and again, Jesus Christ died to take away the sins of the world. Jesus, the one you killed, God has made both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the one who healed this man. And folks, the one thing the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin could not do is deny the miracles that were being done in Jesus' name. So if these miracles are happening, it is screaming out, you need to follow Jesus. And what did they do? Nothing. We're not going to listen. We're not going to receive. We're not going to follow. We're not going to commit. We won't kill them, but neither will we embrace their truth. They're being given an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And Gamaliel says, we're not going to do anything about it at all. I do not applaud Gamaliel's advice. I think Gamaliel's advice was dangerous. I think Gamaliel's advice led people away from an encounter with Christ. Gamaliel, the good, loving, kind of tolerant guy he was, is not willing to hear. He's willing to make a statement, this might be of God, but he's not willing to say, we need to find out. He is lost, and he does not want to be found. Do nothing. Do absolutely nothing. Now, folks, there's a reality here. There is a type of worldly wisdom that makes a degree of sense. It makes a degree of sense. Let me show you a worldly sign that my brain says, yes. In case of fire, exit building before tweeting about it. We can get behind that, can't we? If there's fire, let's get out. Then go on social media. That makes sense. And there are other types of wisdom that the world offers that kind of, sort of sounds, it might have some truth in it. And there is a type of wisdom that gains a lot of attention in this world. Two very different sources of wisdom. Marcus Tullius Cicero. He lived right before the turn of into the first century, the first century AD after Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Listen to this. So folks, this is thousands of years old. I bet you've heard it one way or the other. There is no one who can give you wiser advice than you can give yourself. You will never make a slip if you listen to your own heart. You've heard that, haven't you? Just do what you feel. Follow your gut. Follow your heart, and it's the best thing you can do. That's the kind of wisdom that shows up on marquees. They shall remain nameless, but there is a company, and it's not a church, it has marquees on their sign, little marquee sayings, little wisdom stuff, and I can see that. Follow your heart. Well, what if your heart says, I want to be a serial killer? It's what feels right. This is, folks, this is the wisdom of the world. And now I'm about to do some education of a sort I never thought I would. She pronounces her name the way her family does. So for all of you who are about to say, boy, Danny Nance slaughtered that name, I'm getting it right, and the rest of the world isn't. Ariana Grande. It's not Grande, it's Grande. Listen to her advice. If you don't know who she is, you don't have a kid in the house, you don't look much online, she is one of the hot pop cultures of today, and listen to this advice. The best fashion advice, I'd say, would be just do what makes you comfortable and what makes you feel cute. And that's how you're going to look your best. Because when you feel your best, everybody else can feel it too. And that's sweet. Do whatever feels right. Do whatever looks, what makes you feel cute. And that's the best thing you can do. Folks, again, there's nothing wrong about wanting to look cute, I suppose, or even wearing clothes you like. But the idea that this will make you your best, that's wisdom of the world. And I would challenge, the right outfit does not make you your best. Been trying to sway the world 2 years now with bow ties, and there are more and more people who still just haven't caught the idea. This is what makes me feel best. Now let's look at the law. Let's look at the advice that Gamaliel gives. If it grows, it's of God. If it doesn't, it isn't. Can we turn that into a law and a truth? Folks, there's a problem with that, isn't there? Just take a look at the world around us and look at the millions of people who have chosen to follow a false religion, who have chosen to follow cults that are exploding in growth. Do we really want to say that these groups that deny who Christ is, that these groups who talk about all sorts of ungodliness in the name of God, do we really want to say they must be of God? They're growing. No, we need to be careful of accepting. So when it comes to the world's wisdom, it may sound solid, it may sound real, it may sound like something we can pursue, but the solid wisdom of this world, however, often pulls people away from the truth that leads us home. This wisdom that sounds so good can be disastrous. Let me give you two takes on the basic same wisdom. Okay? One of them from Harry S. Truman. The other from Josh Billings. The best way to give advice to your children is to find out what they want and then advise them to do it. Harry S. Truman. You may not have temper tantrums in your home, but is it really the best thing to tell a child, what do you want? Okay, you got it. Josh Billings, same basic wisdom, but a different take. When a man comes to me for advice, I find out the kind of advice he wants, and I give it to him. I will say whatever you want to hear. So some of you after church, should I say, you know what? I really love your bow ties. Folks, we need to understand something. Wisdom that is not built on the truth of God is a wisdom we need to walk away from. And when the world says, this is the way to live your life the best, do whatever you want, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, it may appeal to us, but it's deadly. So on one hand, we can look at a wisdom that comes from a world that is completely out of tune with God. On the other hand, wisdom can originate in the heart of our Creator and Redeemer. Wisdom can come from the one who made us. And this is the wisdom the apostles have decided to follow. When Jesus Christ said, if you hear what I tell you and you do what I say, you will have a solid life built on a rock. And these apostles said, we are going to follow God, not human beings. And the apostles' choice to follow God's wisdom would have seemed irrational and foolish to the leaders who faced them. When they said that, I can see the Sanhedrin and I can understand a level of frustration that these men have. We have told them, don't do that. Well, we're going to obey God and not you. And they're thinking, you can't be talking about God. Folks, keeping in mind what these leaders believed, the enemies of the church, look at what the church believed. That Jesus was the Messiah of God, doing what God had called him to do. And he was taken, and he was crucified as the worst of sinners. Because only really bad people got crucified. And the law says, cursed is any man who hangs on a tree. So the idea that the Messiah would die that death made no sense. Now, yes, there are the servant songs in the prophet Isaiah that talk about a suffering servant. But most of Israel did not translate those passages to Messiah. Some of them thought they were talking about Isaiah himself. Others a different prophet. But they did not believe Messiah would come and die a death of suffering. Not even the apostles believed it. Do you remember your Gospels? Every time Jesus talked about going to die, what did the apostles try to do? Change the subject or tell him we're not going to let that happen? Because that is not what they expected Messiah to do. That a righteous man could die an ungodly death was unthinkable. These men were following the one they understood to be Lord. And it didn't make sense to the world. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. And it was foolishness to these leaders. So when they heard them say, Jesus is the Christ, and he died to bring salvation to humanity, and it's his power that is enabling us to do these miracles, the Sanhedrin, you are foolish, you're dangerous, and what they wanted to do was kill them. You're going to bring Rome down on us. They wanted them dead. And so, Gamaliel says, no, don't kill them. So, what do? They flog them. They have them beaten in such a way it's hard for us to imagine. And what happened to these crazy men? Because what happened next sounds crazy. After they were beaten and let go, do you know what they did? They went home rejoicing. And someone has kind of pointed out the statement is kind of an oxymoron, you know, two ideas that don't belong together. They went rejoicing because they were thanking God that they were deemed worthy to be dishonored, to have this disgrace put upon them. My father was a firm believer in corporal punishment. And because he was, I was a recipient of it, more than I like to admit. And there was never a moment in time my father spanked me and I said, "Thank you, Father." What they're doing is the act of irrational people as far as the world is concerned. These men were absolutely out of their mind. The disgraceful stripes, they were beaten as criminals. These men are saying this is a badge of honor. And after they're beaten and after they go home, what do? Day in and day out, they keep teaching the name of Jesus. They refuse to give up what God has wanted them to do. Man. Folks, these are shining examples of what it means to take Christ seriously. If you're going to follow me, follow me. Well, we have an issue still today. The cost of discipleship will never be seen as anything but foolish to a world apart from God. We expect the world to get us and understand us. Folks, it can't until the Spirit of God is speaking to their hearts, drawing them to the Father. The world system will never understand us because we are walking to a different rhythm. I want to just give you a few examples of what I mean. The first two are from the Freedom from Religion Foundation. God fixation won't fix this nation. In other words, the freedom from religion, you're talking about God and it's not going to help. And then again, from the Freedom from Religion Foundation, nobody dies for our sins. Jesus Christ is a myth. And then you may remember a few months ago, Joy Behar of The View came under attack, and even ABC said, "You went too far," and made her apologize on air. When she was talking about Vice President Mike Pence and his statement that he prays to God, he talks to God, and on The View, she made the statement live that people who talk to God, that's a sign of mental illness. The fact that he prays, she's saying he's schizophrenic, he's crazy. And even ABC, which is not normally the stalwart defender of our faith, said, "Okay, you went too far." That's the wisdom of the world. It doesn't understand, it will not embrace, it is a problem. Carlo Corretto said, "The world and the cross do not get along too well together. And comfort and holiness do not share the same room." Wow. Joseph Roy made a statement, "A true Christian is a sign of contradiction, a living symbol of the cross. He or she is a person who believes the unbelievable, bears the unbearable, forgives the unforgivable, loves the unlovable, is perfectly happy not to be perfect, is willing to give up his or her will, becomes weak to be strong, and finds love to be, I love by giving it away." Then Billy Graham. That's an amazing man of God. In his sermon, The Offense and the Cross, said, "When Jesus said, 'If you're going to follow me, you have to take up a cross,' it was the same as saying, 'Come and bring your electric chair with you. Take up the gas chamber and follow me.' He did not have a beautiful gold cross in mind, the cross on a church steeple or the front of your Bible. Jesus had in mind a place of execution. The world looks at you and me, and the moment you say, I want to follow God and not man, the world will say, you're crazy, you're ignorant, you're following an outdated religion and an outdated God. You need to grow up. And God is saying, keep walking. I'm with you. And I will not leave you. See, in the end, fool's wisdom is the wisdom that leads to life at its best. I take that name, fool, that phrase, fool's wisdom, from a song. Surprise for all of you who know me. A song way back in the 70s by Malcolm and Arwen. Several different folks covered it. But the title of it is Fool's Wisdom. Let me read part of the song for you. Got myself some wisdom from a leatherback book. Got myself a savior when I took a second look. Opened up the pages and what did I find? A black and white portrait of a king who's a friend of mine. Funny how you think you're right. When you think you're right, everybody else must be wrong. Till someone with fool's wisdom somehow comes along. His voice was strange and the words he said I didn't quite understand. Yet I know that he was speaking right by the leather-backed book in his hand. Hey, hey, what a day. Fool's wisdom. Got myself some wisdom from a leather-backed book. Got myself a savior when I took a second look. Folks, when it comes to advice and it comes to the wisdom, I'm telling you that in Jesus Christ, we find wisdom for the richest meaning of life possible. The wisdom of God in Christ, we find hope for the darkest of moments. The wisdom that is in Christ, we find salvation. And there is no other wisdom that can lead us into the family and kingdom of God. So we have a choice. Are we going to follow some bad advice? The advice that says to this world around us, come our way. Do what we're telling you. Turn your back on the things you've learned, the things you've heard, and just do whatever feels right. Are we going to follow the advice, the wisdom of God? Follow me. Take up that cross. And every day of your life, be willing to say, you're my path. You're my goal. You're my purpose. And you're my Lord. Pray with me. Father God, I come to you in the strong name of Jesus, thanking you that you love us. Frankly, Lord, in spite of ourselves. We so often go our own path. We stumble and fall and turn away. And you keep loving. And you keep reaching out and you keep bringing us back to your side. And you choose out of that love to give us a task for living for you. Father, we're living in a moment in time in our world. The world is saying in a lot of different ways, quit talking about Jesus. Give us the courage to stand up and say, by the power of God, the gift of the Spirit, by God's movement, we will never, by His grace, we will never close our mouths about the Lord we love. Help us follow your path. I ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.